Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
My good friend Jerry Dulac on the show with us. Jerry, how you been?
Steve, I am very well, my friend, and I hope you are too. I know you're getting ready for a busy couple days, and I'm sure an exciting couple days for you.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to this. I want to break this down into a couple parts. I want to start with the Steeler part, and then we'll get to the LIV Golf part because there are more people flowing in that direction.
Right, right.
So let's get to the Steeler part of it. Mike's press conference today, there's really nothing to talk about, really, in that press conference. But let's start with the acquisition of Reed from Denver and what you think that can mean, because in Denver, with a new coaching staff, guys like him are going to move around.
Well, I think, Steve, it was a really good pickup for him. And by that, I mean it's a guy who started enough games in the NFL, has some modest production, but enough production to be a quality backup. And it's something they didn't have. This isn't Melvin Ingram, and that's both a good and bad thing. It's not a guy with his pedigree, but it's also not a guy who's going to come in and expect to be a regular, and when he's not being used a lot, is not going to like it. So that was part of Melvin Ingram's problem. But in Melvin Ingram's defense, he felt he was lied to when he signed here, signed with the Steelers, that he was going to be a guy who was going to rotate in with the starters. And then, of course, when there was some injuries early in the season and he played a lot, he just thought that's what his role was going to continue to be, when in fact that wasn't going to be it. But he claimed privately that was misrepresented to him, and that's what upset him. That won't be the case with Malik Reed. I mean, he's coming in to be a backup. He's not a guy. He started enough games in Denver, but part of that is because of injuries and circumstances. But he has that experience that they just don't have, at the most important position on the defense behind their two starters. And so I thought it was a really good pickup for him. They didn't give up a lot. They swapped sixth and seventh round picks next year to get him. So I thought, considering the importance of that position, that was a move they had to make. They had to bring in a guy like that. And to me, it's like the exact type of player they need to acquire as a backup who doesn't cost them a whole lot.
And they also decided not to make a move with Mason Rudolph, a lot like the Niners decided not to make a move with Jimmy Garoppolo. What's your thought on that?
As for the 49ers, and I know you're not asking me about them, I get that one because, yeah. You're putting in Trey Lance, who we've heard Joe Montana and Steve Young say is not ready to play. And so, but they have to play him after what they gave up to move up to get him. And it's going to be the same thing with Kenny Pickett at some point in time, Steve. When you draft a quarterback number one in today's NFL, at some point in time, whenever that is, he's going to be the starter no matter who the guy is in front of him. That's how Mitch Trubisky ended up here, because the Bears drafted Justin Fields, and after 4 years with the Bears and after being a number one pick, they let Mitch Trubisky go. He signed 1 year with the Bills, and now, of course, he ends up here. I think it's a good move by the Steelers because I think they learned their lesson in 2019, Steve. They traded Josh Dobbs, their number three quarterback, to Jacksonville for a fifth-round pick. Jacksonville had injuries at quarterback. They desperately needed a quarterback, and so the Steelers were able to get a fifth-rounder for Josh Dobbs, and they traded him. Well, a couple weeks later, Ben Roethlisberger gets injured in week two for the season, and they end up with an unproven Mason Rudolph, who had never taken a snap in an NFL game, and a tryout quarterback, Duck Hodges. And because of that, they then had to trade a number one pick to get Minka, a future number one pick, to get Minka Fitzpatrick to solidify their defense, because they knew they were going to struggle offensively with those two quarterbacks. They don't want to make that same mistake again. While Kenny Pickett is ahead of where they thought he would be and has looked good in the preseason, and I will note it's the preseason, I don't think they want to get caught in that position again. And so, Mason Rudolph gives them that that solidity they're looking for at that position with three guys. And, he has one more year on his contract. He'll move on after this year. Does Mason Rudolph like being demoted to number three? If, in fact, that's where he ends up, we'll find out during the week, with game with practice reps and then how they dress him in a game. Probably not. But, as of right now, unless they get some ridiculous offer for Mason Rudolph, which I doubt they will, they do not plan to trade him at all.
All right, so when you looked at them play, and it's just preseason games, but at least it's something to judge from, what did you think of the three?
I'm sorry, Steve, of the what?
I said, what did you think of the three? Even though it's just preseason games, what did you think of it? What did you think?
From watching in practice, too, just about every day, and then seeing the games, as I said, Kenny Pickett looked better. I don't want to say than I thought he would be. I didn't see a lot of him, Steve, in college. Saturday I'm traveling a lot to games, and even though he played here in town, I saw his highlights, but I didn't sit down and watch him play, so I didn't have a good feel for maybe how good he might be. I will tell you, he has a lot of traits that you look for in starting NFL quarterbacks. He makes quick decisions. He could get rid of the ball quickly. He can throw on the run. He's a fairly accurate passer. In fact, seems to be a very accurate passer, 80% completion in the preseason. So I think he's ahead of where he is. You saw Mitch Trubisky just slowly get better. His first drive in the preseason was a touchdown. His last drive in the preseason was a touchdown. Both of them long, one 90-yard drive, the other a 92-yard drive. And you see his mobility. You see his ability to extend plays. You see his ability to throw on the run. Mitch Trubisky came out as the number two overall pick for a reason, and you see those qualities in him. Is he going to be Ben Roethlisberger? Certainly not a young Ben Roethlisberger, but his ability to move around gives that offense an entirely different look. And Mason Rudolph it showed that he's a guy who looks most comfortable in the offense because, he's been in it for 4 years. And he's probably day in and day out been their most consistent quarterback in training camp. So the three quarterbacks, Steve, had a combined passer rating of 112 in the preseason, meaning they all played very well. So they go into the season looking at that position, like not having a lot of question marks, just kind of seeing how it's maybe going to all evolve, into the regular season.
No, they weren't going to update any injuries today anyway, but they did play some of those guys in the last game against Detroit. A couple of them did get bumped up, including T.J. Watt. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, I was surprised they played T.J. Obviously, he didn't play any preseason games last year, and last time I checked, he had a pretty good year as Defensive Player of the Year. So yeah. I don't really think he needed to play. I wouldn't have played Najee Harris. I get why Cam Hayward played, although I don't get why he played the whole first half, because he didn't play the week before and he wanted to get some time. But I wouldn't have played those guys. T.J. Watt ends up getting hurt, but I will tell you he's fine. He was on the practice field today, and it wasn't like a hard practice, but he was out there. Deontay Johnson gets hurt. We'll see about him. I was told that he should be okay. They have that whole extra week, too. But we'll see with him. I just think with some of those guys, you just don't need to do that. And I didn't think Deontay Johnson probably needed to play either. But, even if he goes in there for a little bit and gets hurt on one of the plays, what's it matter if he plays 8 plays or 18? That's always a tough line to walk. And coaches understand that could happen, but they also only have three games, and they want to make sure these guys get some snaps before the regular season. But I don't know. When you look at the guys who are really important to the team, and that being T.J. Watt and Najee Harris, I wouldn't have played them. But that's me.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. I think he already knows how to play. That's just me.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Jerry.
And I don't think, Steve, Najee Harris getting four carries and getting tackled or getting hit is going to make a difference on how he might get hit September 11th in Cincinnati.
Now for the LIV Golf story. Cameron Smith going was no surprise. At the Open at St. Andrews, the story was already circulating. Popular guy like Harold Varner III goes, Tringali goes. I mean, there are more guys making the trek in that direction. And this is after Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods stood before their peers and talked about the PGA Tour. What's your thought on all of this?
Well, and don't forget Joaquin Niemann, who really
Niemann, very popular.
And even proven, but still an up-and-coming star. And so now you have guys, Steve, who are not, and not to denigrate them, but you don't have guys, like Bubba Watson, Guy and Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter, guys who feel maybe they can't beat the young guys anymore. These are guys who are the best on the PGA Tour or among the best, and certainly with Cam Smith. And that one, to me, is the biggest signing of all. You know, Brooks Koepka's been fighting injuries. You know, that was a big name, of course. And we have a bunch of other guys. But when you get those three and you put Cameron Tringali in there as well, and you're still going to see a few more. That was, the report was all along was that after the FedEx Cup playoffs, you're going to see even more of a defection. And, yes, you knew it was going to be Cam Smith. But that one, I don't want to say it really hurts the PGA Tour, but you add that one with those other guys, and now you started to peck away at some of the young talent on the PGA Tour. And yeah, they still have their stars, but you know, when you look at Dustin Johnson, and when you look at Bryson DeChambeau, and now you have Cam Smith, and throw the other guys in there, and even a Joaquin Niemann. You know, there's a lot of guys with some star power, and that includes Bubba, who have made the jump, and of course Phil Mickelson as well. I think the PGA Tour will miss Phil Mickelson's presence. And just to digress for a second, Steve, all along what Phil Mickelson has said, his message that he was excoriated for is exactly what has happened. All of a sudden, the PGA Tour has come up with millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that was Phil Mickelson's point all along. And that's what's come to fruition. And I find it somewhat ironic that a lot of the things that the tour is doing right now with this new program really kind of copies what the LIV, the LIV Golf Tour is doing. And, I don't know what the tour was supposed to do at the start, but I just at the start of all this, but I think they've mishandled it. I think the two sides need to come together because, let's face it, it's created a contentious environment in golf. How about Rory McIlroy saying the other day he doesn't know if he can, quote, stomach seeing these guys, when they play in some of these World Golf Championship events? I mean, that's a strong statement, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I think he feels unfortunate that he thinks that way. But it is. It's unfortunate, and it's not good for golf.
And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw what the PGA was going to do. I said, that's exactly what Mickelson's been telling them to do. And yeah, exactly, he's right. The bad guy.
Right, right. And he, as it turns out, he's no dummy. He's been around a long time. He has the strength and conviction to say those things, and he says things sometimes that people don't like. But, there's a reason why he's one of the most popular players with his talent. He's been around a long time. He's all for the quality of the game. And yet he sees what he felt were inequities with the tour relative to the support of the players. And now all of a sudden it comes to fruition. And, like I said, he was the bad guy before, but everything he said is exactly what he's been championing, how the tour is reacting right now.
Yeah, and finally on that, the one thing I don't want to see that happen to the PGA Tour, just from a slice of history, is for years, CART and IndyCar IRL split. And for example, the Mario Andretti's of the world and other great drivers weren't driving in the Indy 500, and car racing has never recovered. Fans want to see, no matter how old he is, Mickelson playing in the Masters. They want to see Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka play in the U.S. Open, whether they're contenders or not. they're still draws. And I just hope this doesn't do permanent damage where you have that kind of split where now the fans don't see those kind of stars in the biggest events.
I agree with you 100%, Steve. And, you know, you talk about DeChambeau. He's a young guy who just won the U.S. Open a couple years ago. You look what Brooks Koepka did, winning four times in 2 years, four majors. I mean, these are big-name players. And now you factor in, not to mention Phil Mickelson and two-time Masters champ Bubba Watson, who's another very popular player, amongst the fans. You could see the types of players they are going after. And that is the guys who were very popular. And yeah, that's what they're trying to do, bring attention to their sport. And now you throw in, again, Cam Smith and Joaquin Niemann. You know, there's Taylor Gooch, who had a strong start to the year on the PGA Tour. So you're getting a lot of guys now who were top 100 players, if not top 50 players. And, yeah, it's just not a good thing for golf. There's no question about it. I'm still curious to see how the majors are going to treat it. They pay lip service to it right now, but I think when push comes to shove, I really don't think they're going to deny these guys the opportunity to play in a U.S. Open or Masters or British Open. That's what they say, but we'll see what happens when the time comes.
My friend, always a pleasure. Any moment I get to spend with you, I really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Well, Steve, you are welcome. I'm looking forward to Thursday night and seeing what Penn State has.
Same here. Same here. Jack and I feel the same way. Let's see what's in the tank.
Absolutely. Give my best to Hammer. I'll talk to you soon.